Hello, folks. Sean Mice here. And today, I'm really going to get into something that I really feel is an advanced, detailed, like a 30,000-foot picture of what a profitable information marketing business is going to look like. And I'll tell you, one of the things that I believe that a lot of people struggle with is this idea that in some sense, making money is really easy online if you've got a few things matched up, okay? And so let's just talk about what those few things are. Just throw them out. I've taught a lot on them, but let's say what they are, okay? You are in a niche where there is a demand or a desire for the information that you have, and that's obviously always got to be the assumption, okay? If you're not in a niche that has a demand, then, well, you're not going to make money. You may be doing it for fun or for charity or whatever, but if you're not in a niche where there's a demand and people are willing to pay money, you know, well, you don't really have a marketing business that's going to make money. So if you're in it to make money, you must have not just one product. You generally, you need three or four more products to really be able to monetize things. So you've got this product or products, okay? And if we're working backwards from this, you've got a series of emails that you've written that basically says, hey, look, do you need help with these problems that my products solve? Okay, do you have questions that need to be answered that are answered in my products? And if so, then buy my products. Okay, now obviously we're not using that language, but that's the idea. Okay, and then how do we get people to read our emails? Well, we buy or we borrow or we find a way to monetize a free source or to create a traffic out of a content generated type of source, okay, of people who have the kind of questions that are answered in your products. And so obviously I just gave it to you reverse of how most people talk about it and how I usually talk about it. I usually talk about it as drive traffic of targeted prospects, send them emails that match their needs, okay, and then sell your products. So what I really want to do here is for us to get into this idea, and again, I want to focus on, let's touch on this simple first. This is really simple. It's a really simple model. Targeted traffic, write emails, people buy the products. It's a really simple process. And what happens, unfortunately, what sometimes happens to people is that they get a really good traffic source their first month online, and they write, you know, 10 emails by accident that really kind of click with the people that are in that traffic source, and they sell a whole bunch of product. And then the next month, they try to repeat the whole thing, but it doesn't work the same. Like, people's needs aren't the same the next month. You're not in the same creative mindset for your emails, and then, you know, you don't have something that's duplicatable. What is more normal to happen is that people buy traffic, they write emails, the emails are no good, the traffic's not targeted, the traffic's not right, the sales letters are lousy, the product isn't what they need, and you have all of these points that fall together and it doesn't work. But from a conceptual standpoint, it's a really simple model. But in reality, what does somebody that's making real money, consistent money, I'm not talking about somebody that has a home run 1 month because they stumbled on a good traffic source and had a good traffic source for a month or two, or because they wrote 10 good emails and then they can't figure out how to write more good emails, or because they created one great product and they have a great sales letter and people buy it and buy it and buy it, but then they won't buy anything else. I'm not talking about that, because there are one-hit wonders out there. There's a lot of times people will have a one-hit scenario where they just do really, really well that's not duplicatable. I don't call that a business. I call that a one-hit wonder. I mean, we could almost say that it was like a lottery pull. You know, you threw some traffic at the situation, you wrote some emails you thought warmed your heart and warmed theirs, and hey, for some reason people responded and they bought. But if it's not duplicatable, if next month's traffic doesn't convert the same way, if the next month's traffic doesn't convert the same way, it's not a real business. I mean, you can't quit your job because you have a 1 month lottery pull. You can't quit your job because you had one product that works. You know, how can you make this a full-time income? It's really more complex. And that's what I really want to dig into today is the complexity side of it. Okay, now, I don't want to make it seem so complex that nobody can do it. I believe anybody can do it. I believe that one of the things that really holds people back is this idea that this is simple, 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 simple. Because, well, let's face it, you hear it from me. I mean, I use the word simple a lot because, I mean, to me, it is simple. You know, it's just like, let's say there's a fitness guru, okay? And let's just use the muscle head fitness guru, okay? You know the person. I mean, you go to the gym and, you know, one out of 300 people is all built out. The muscles are bulging out of the shirt and, you know, he's really done all the right work, okay? Or we could go the other extreme. You know, you've got somebody that's just in tip-top aerobic shape. And, I mean, you know, they've done all of this work, and they teach it, and they teach these classes, and they have clients, they have fitness clients. And, you know, if you go to them and you say, well, how do you do this? And they say, well, it's really easy. You know, you show up at the gym, you work out for 2 hours a day, you do these kinds of exercises, and you got to eat right. You have to eat these kinds of foods, and you do that, and they make it really, it sounds simple. They could even say it sounds simple, and I think we could all buy into it. It really does sound simple. In fact, I mean, I believe it is simple. I mean, you're going to do these things, but yet, when people like you or me, I mean, unless you're the one out of 300 that has attained that at the gym, let's say, okay, just using this as a real world offline example, okay, if you're like me, you go in there and you do all of these simple things, okay, and instead of gaining 25 pounds of muscle like you're supposed to on this program, you know, you gain a tenth of a pound of muscle and you don't know where it is, okay? You know, or you're trying to lose weight on a diet and you do everything right and it's a really simple diet. Hey, you know, meat and vegetables and you know, not too much sugar. And you know, it's simple. And you lose a few pounds and it's pretty cool. But it's either A, difficult to stick with it, or things slow down, or something changes in your life, your stress level goes up. And no matter how simple it is, actually implementing it is a whole lot more complex. And that's really what I'm wanting to kind of drill into today. And I want to kind of peek behind the scenes on the kinds of things you can do to mastermind it and make it happen. And I'm going to peek behind the scenes in my own business and share with you some of the things that I do. Okay, now, I want to say this. I probably do hundreds of different things all of the time over time. I don't do the same thing every month. I mean, sometimes one month I say, boy, you know, it was working last month, not really working. What can I do this month? What kind of changes do I want to make? And I think about it, and I do some things, and I make some changes. I make a few sales, and they're not what I really wanted. And so I say, okay, next month I'm going to make some more changes. And we're going to test this and tweak this. And over the process of doing this, I get sales pages that I know that convert, and they work well. It did not happen overnight. It does not happen overnight. And I, as much as I try to give, and as much as other people that have been there, done that, we give processes that work. For example, the one I shared with you earlier, traffic, emails, products. You know, we look at sales pages. Well, what do we need to do with sales pages to get them to perform better? You got a split test. You know, whether it's using Website Optimizer or it's using some other software, you got a split test. Does this headline work better than this one? Does this first paragraph work better than this one? Does this second paragraph work better than this one? Does a guarantee work better than not? Do transcripts work better than not? Does a hard close, you know, something along the lines of, look, if you don't get my product, you're never going to figure this out. Okay? Does that work better than saying something more gentle like, hey, why don't you give it a try, give it a spin, see if it helps out? Or does something in between work even better than that? You're never going to know for your market, for your list, if these things work, which words work, unless you split test. Okay? And split testing takes time. You know, it's kind of like split testing takes time. I mean, if you want to get, you know, decent results from a split test, you know, with just a few things that you're split testing, you may need as much as 50 or 100 or 150 completed actions to be able to get statistically significant results. That takes time. It's usually going to cost money. You know, most traffic, in fact, you know, really, you've heard me talk about this. just about all traffic costs money. You know, there's traffic out there, you might call it free, you know, content-generated traffic. But hey, if it's content-generated traffic, it's not free. You've got to put your time or your money into generating the content. And then you've got to put your time or your money into getting it online. I really believe this is another path here. I won't go down this. You've heard me. You've probably heard me. I imagine you've heard me talk about this before. If you haven't, you're hearing it right now. Hey, I don't believe there's really anything such as genuinely free traffic. You drive enough paid traffic, you'll get a few free occasional luck coincidental clicks from time to time. But for the most part, you're paying for your traffic, whether you're paying for it in your time or money. And so to generate those kinds of testing results, it takes time and it takes money. And, you know, unfortunately, there's so much focus out there on the idea that you can get your business up and running in 30 days and making a full-time income in 30 days. And sometimes that can happen. And, you know, I've seen people make those kinds of things happen. Okay. In my case, I was making money the very first month. That took several months to get to the place where, you know, it was several thousand dollars a month. It took several months for that to happen. But that was a lot of work. That was a lot of product generation to what the big picture, what must go in here. And what I like to do is let's break this down from traffic to emails to products, and we'll throw sales letters into products. What are some of the different things that you can do to make this end result happen? Okay, now, before I go into this, let's talk about testing. Let's talk about keeping track of your results. Because let's face it, if you drive a bunch of traffic this month and you make a bunch of sales this month, but you cannot duplicate that next month, with the exception of the fact that, hey, it was a pretty cool windfall. It's pretty cool that I have this extra money in the bank. It's pretty cool that I can say I got some results from the work that I did. If you can't duplicate it, you don't have a business. I don't know what you call what you have, but I don't really believe you have a business if you can't duplicate it. Okay, now, in my opinion, without testing and tracking, you can't really develop that long-termness. You cannot spin what you have right now into something that's long term. And so what I'm going to do today, without getting into all of the wheres and like how do you do this testing, okay, I'm going to give you some ideas, some places to go. I don't have a foolproof way that works for me all of the time. A lot of times I do manual testing and tracking. Does it take a little bit of time? Yes. Are there automated ways to do it? Yes, absolutely. And you know, long run, that may be the direction that you want to go, is to put in, you know, completely automated testing and tracking and that kind of thing. I think that's a topic for a different teaching, though. Okay? So let's get into this. The first thing is you've got to have some traffic sources that work well in your niche for getting qualified long-term buyers into your campaign. So let's talk about this concept for just a moment, okay? So often on our front end, we just focus on getting traffic. You know, we go out there and say, I just want 1,000 visitors. Well, who are these visitors? Well, we said we want them to be targeted. How do you want them to be targeted? Well, let's have them targeted according to our niche. Okay, that sounds cool. But what if none of the people that are targeted in our niche really want to buy anything? Okay, well, let's target it to people who have the kinds of needs that our products would solve. Now we're getting closer. Okay. Unfortunately, I believe we're starting at the wrong place here when we think about just finding targeted traffic and saying, okay, how deep can we go on this targeting? I think instead we need to start with the product, and we need to say who's likely to buy this product. And I believe that we need to begin our initial efforts, even as early as driving traffic and creating our squeeze page, to find buyers of our products. We need to be targeting our squeeze page to find the people who are likely to become buyers. Will that make total traffic go down? Yeah, probably. Will that make total number of opt-ins go down? Yeah, probably. What is the point in having tons of traffic and tons of subscribers if they're not people that convert? So what I really believe, and again, this is a chicken and egg kind of a thing, because until you have buyers, you don't know what kind of people buy your products, okay? And so there's some tricks and techniques that you can do to kind of guess what that is, and over time you'll hone it. Okay, so when you're starting out from sale zero to sale 100, you really don't know who's going to buy your product. You have to guess, okay? You have to guess that people with these kinds of needs are going to buy your product. And what happens is hopefully you guess, and hopefully you're partially right, and hopefully some people buy. But then once you have buyers, you're going to ask every single one of them a few questions. You're going to ask them, why did you buy my product? How's my product working for you? What was the single biggest reason you bought my product? What's the single biggest challenge you're having right now? Okay. When you find out what the answers to those questions are, they're going to tell you what kind of people will be buying your product in the future. When you ask the people that buy your product what their challenges are, you're going to be finding out what kinds of challenges people have who buy your product. I know that sounds circular, and it is a little bit. When you find out what those challenges are, you're going to start putting those challenges on your landing page, on your squeeze page, so that only people who have those challenges are going to be attracted in the very first place. Now, will you be excluding people who don't have those challenges? Well, of course you will. However, the idea here is that you want to create the best population of subscribers on your email list from traffic that are going to be most likely to buy from you. Because the name of this game is profits and revenue. It's not number of subscribers. Okay, now, once you've figured out how to make subscribers convert to dollars, then, hey, yeah, then you want to scale up and you want to leverage as much as possible and build as big as possible. But the primary purpose for your profitable marketing campaign is profit. Okay, that's how we're going to measure how effective it is. Okay, now obviously there's non-tangibles like building relationships, people liking you, people respecting the material. All of those things need to be there. But there has to be a number one that you're able to measure. And if the goal is a profitable campaign, then we have to measure profit. If the goal is building lots of relationships and whatever money happens, okay, that's fine. That's number one goal, and that's what you build for. And then you can work on profit, and you can work on adding it in. You've got to decide what that number one goal is. Okay, so when we're focusing on traffic, we really want to focus on finding traffic that has the kinds of needs that your product will make happen. Okay, now if you haven't made 50 sales, so you can't ask 50 people what their struggles are, who buy your products, then we move back one step. And that is we just ask your subscribers, what are your biggest challenges? If their biggest challenges are the reasons why they're going to buy something. And obviously, if their biggest challenges don't coincide with what your products answer, then you need to create products that answer their biggest challenges, and those people will buy your products or other people that are representative of them. Okay, so for example, what I mean is that if today you get 1,000 subscribers and you ask them what are your biggest challenges and they tell you, well, 90 days from now, they're probably not going to be your buyers. Some of them will be, but most of them probably aren't. Why? Because they have a problem today. You don't launch your product for 90 days. You've lost the window for most of these people. They bought from somebody else, so they've decided they don't have the problem anymore. Or they've given up on solving the problem. They're not reading your emails anymore. So when you go to create your product, you're basing it on what people say today they need, but you're really going to be selling to the next cohort of subscribers 90 days from now when you go out and you build new traffic to sell your product to. Okay, now you've got the same sort of traffic. It's got to have the same traffic source. It's got to have come through the same squeeze, or their needs are going to be different. Their questions are going to be different, okay? And again, this is why this whole picture, this whole puzzle can be so difficult to scale into and to scale up to. Okay, so if we don't have subscribers, so we can ask this question, if we're driving our very first amount of traffic, we're going to have to go imaginary on this. We're going to have to ask ourselves, what kinds of challenges do we think people are going to have? Okay, now, remember, as we go down this list, from buyers to subscribers to just guessing, we're going to get farther and farther away from the truth. Okay? We're going to get farther and farther away from what their actual needs are. But hopefully, we'll get somewhere in the ballpark. And what will happen is, as you get subscribers and then as you get products, you've got to continue to redo these survey questions so you can change your sales pages, so you can change your sales pages, so they reflect all of the truth instead of just guessing at the truth. Okay? Let this use a really, I'll just say this may be a really off-the-wall example. Okay, but let's say somebody is thinking about running for senator or representative or president of the United States, whatever. They're getting ready to run, and they've got some very specific ideas about what they would like to change about our country. And this can apply for any country that you may live in. Maybe you're getting ready to elect, or somebody's getting ready to decide to run, and they've got, say, three or four things that are really important to them. But, I mean, if they're going to run, they also want to make sure that there's some things that are important to the people out there, okay? And let's just say that when they first get started, they're going to have to guess what the people might want, and so they might do a radio commercial or a TV commercial, or they might create a blog that says, hey, thinking about running, what would be important to you? Maybe you've seen those kinds of surveys before. What would be important to you? Hey, maybe they get 1,000 responses, and so they start reading through all of those responses, and they say, okay, this is a good place to start. And they start with all of these, the 1,000 responses that people have. They start with that, and they say, well, I can't buy into that, and I can't buy into that. But these things, wow, these are some great ideas. I think I could put these on my platform. Okay, so they do this, and now they declare, and they start running, and then they're now after a while, there's some official polls out there, and then they decide to spend. Now they have donations coming in, and now they're able to invest money in some higher level surveys. So then what they do is they go out and they do surveys of, let's say, registered voters, the people who are actually going to be voting, and they ask those people. They say, okay, what are your desires? And what we're going to find is that there's going to be probably, in most cases, there's going to be a difference between what the general public might want out of a representative and what the registered voters want, okay? And then as we get closer and closer to the election, we find that they do more and more surveys that are really zoned in on, hey, who's going to vote in this county? Who's going to vote in this city? You know, who are the swing voters here? They're asking deeper and deeper questions, and you're going to do the exact same thing in your product campaign. As people purchase, they come in, they become a subscriber, they purchase your first product. Now what can we do? We've got to drill down and find out what should the next product be. What do the people who have purchased my product, they've studied it for 7 to 10 days, what do they need next? So we're going to ask them. You know, the single biggest, bestest place that you can ever find out what people will buy next, what they need next, is to simply ask them. Okay, now, we don't ask them, what product will you buy next? We don't ask them because we get incoherent results from that. We don't ask them, what do you want me to create next? That we don't get good results. And if we ask them again the question, what are the three biggest things holding you back? Whatever those three biggest things are, if you will solve those things in your next product, they will buy it. And when they buy that product, you go back to them again and say, hey, you had my new training for these last 7 to 10 days. You've been studying and been asking some questions. Now, what are the things that are holding you back? Whatever those things are, that's what the people need in the next product. Okay, I want to go back to traffic. Again, this is a 30,000-foot overview. When you get done with this, when we get done with this overview, you're going to see how many different variables go in. And I don't want you to be overwhelmed by this and say, okay, well, you know, now there's so many variables, I can't make it happen. Now you're going to have to go back down and work on one variable at a time. Let's go back to traffic. Your traffic must be targeted to whatever it is that the people that are in that targeted group, that they have the kinds of questions that need to be answered, that are going to be answered in the initial product that you perhaps have. Okay, now, just like we've talked about this idea that we want to buy our subscribers, we want to buy our traffic in such a way that it reflects getting people into our funnel who will likely purchase our first product, once we have our second, third, fourth, tenth product, we want to begin to focus our traffic on people who will buy our final product. We want to focus not on saying how many of our first product can we buy. We want to focus on the question, how can we do the best job of getting the most people to go through our entire funnel and buy product number two, number three, number four, number five, number six, number seven, number eight, number nine, number 10. How can we maximize revenue by getting people to move all the way through? I'd far rather have five customers who buy all 10 products in a funnel for a total of 50 sales than to have 50 first-time buyers buy the first-time product. Why? Well, number one, I can help people better if they spend more time with me. I mean, if somebody comes back to me every single month for a year and they buy a new training and they study the training and they put that training into action and they come back next month and they buy another training and they put that training into action, wow, that person's going to get some serious results. However, if that same person buys my entry-level product this month, studies it, implements it, puts it into action, okay, and then goes and buys somebody else's entry-level product, studies it, implements it, puts it into action, and then next month goes and buys somebody else's entry-level product, at the end of the year, what are they going to have? They're probably not going to have much more than if they had just bought mine or any of the other 10 people's entry-level product. Okay? And by the way, I'm not saying that they'd be better off buying my 10 versus somebody else's 10. They'd be better off buying anybody's 10 and studying one product at a month for 10 months than going out and just starting fresh every single month. It's the same thing in your niche, no matter what it is. Whether you're in psychology, whether you're helping people take care of themselves, whether you're in fitness, whether you're in self-improvement, whether you're in saving people's lives from a disease, whether you're helping people psychologically, whether you're helping people make money, whether you're helping people get into better health. You know, let's just take health, for example. Would somebody be better off getting 12 different health instructors and hanging out with each one for a month? Or would they be better off finding a health instructor they really, really like and investing something every single month with that health instructor and learning a little bit more every single month? I believe they'd be better off finding one person to work with over time. Now, I'm not saying that the first person somebody buys from is the person they need to stick with for the 12 months. Okay, so they might buy from you and find that you're not a good fit, and that's okay. Then they go buy from somebody else and they're not a good fit. Then they go buy a first entry-level product from somebody else and they find that they're a good fit. And they say, okay, this is great. Now I'm going to stick with this person for a year. And obviously, I've unhighlighted the idea that you're going to not be that first person. I've highlighted the idea that you're not going to be that first person in this example. Okay? But now I want to think about the idea that you are that person. Maybe you're the person that they come to third, and they say, you know what, I really click with you. And so I'm going to stick with you for a year. Okay, all of this to say, I'd much rather have five people, and we can scale this anyway. I mean, we could say I'd much rather have 100 people that invest 10 times with me than 1,000 first-time buyers. Okay, but I would rather, well, let me restate this, I'd rather have five people that spend a year with me and invest a little bit every single month. I mean, whether it's a coaching program and they just make a payment every month, or they literally buy a new training program every month, or whatever. I'm just talking about this idea that I would rather have a fewer number of people invest more. When I say invest more, I don't just mean money. Obviously, money goes along, and I'm going to show that to you in just a moment. But I'd rather have a fewer number of people invest more than to have a large number of people invest less. You know, I've just talked about why I want that from their perspective. Hopefully it makes extremely logical sense. I mean, even from your perspective. You know, I look at the training that I've done in the past and the times that I have studied with one person repeatedly over time, I've gotten a lot more out of learning from that person than when I just bought one training from one individual. And trust me, I've probably bought, I mean, I don't think that hundreds would be an exaggeration. So I'm going to stick with that number. I mean, it could be 89. I don't know. But, I mean, I think there's some months when I buy like 10 trainings from different people. And so, add all my months up. I've got to be into the hundreds, okay? And yet, if you were to ask me for where I've gotten the most results, I'm going to point to a handful of people. And if I point to that handful of people, you're going to see that I've gone back to the trough multiple times. Okay, they were either people that I invested with a monthly payment and I just paid them every month, or they were people that I bought something from, I liked it, they came out with something else in a month, and I bought that, and I liked it, and I grew. Okay, and you look at the other 95 people, perhaps, that I purchased from, hey, I learned things, and I implemented, and I put it into the system, okay, but I didn't build a relationship, I didn't really grow with that person. If I had to go all the way back to the very beginning, and if I had foreknowledge, which I don't, and I was able to say, okay, if I could just do all my training all over again and only buy from those five people and not buy from anybody else, would I have been better off? Yeah, probably. If I'd invested those same dollars and even invested more with those individuals, and my guess is if you look into your own buying habits, you'll find the same thing. Okay, well, you and I were somewhat typical of your buyers. So I hope that I have persuaded you that it's far better off for your clients, not just for you, but it's far better off for your clients to have a long-term relationship with you than to have a short-term one. So going back to traffic, our goal when we're getting traffic should not be getting visitors for the sake of visitors. It should not be getting subscribers for the sake of subscribers. It should not be getting a first purchase for the sake of getting a first purchase. It should be getting a first purchase for the sake of getting a second purchase, for the sake of getting a third purchase, for the sake of getting a fourth purchase, for the sake of getting a fifth purchase, and so on and so on. What does that tell us? That tells us if we've got a product funnel that's 10 products long, or if we plan to have a product funnel that is 10 products long, our purpose and our goal for getting visitors and subscribers and first purchases should be so that we are finding people who will go all the way through our funnel. Okay, now, one more word on this. There'll be another one in just a moment, but one more right here, and that is just because we're focusing on that doesn't mean that many, many people are not going to buy our first product and then just jump around. That's okay. Okay, that's just additional revenue for us. Hopefully it's good additional teaching for them if they study the material. Unfortunately, many people will buy your material and never even open it. There are some things you can do about that. You can send them emails that help increase compliance, et cetera, but the bottom line is their responsibility is studying the material. Okay? And some people are just not going to study the material, they never go through your funnel. But your focus still has to be getting people to go through the entire funnel. Okay, so hopefully I've just persuaded you that it's better for your client that they go through your entire funnel than that they just buy your first product and somebody else's first product and somebody else's third product. Okay, now the question might also come up. Here's a rabbit trail. We'll go down and I'll come back in a moment. Here's another question that might come up, and that would be, well, what if they bought your first product and somebody else's second product and somebody else's third product? Okay. Would they get more from that than buying everybody's first product? Yeah, I believe that they would, okay? However, they're still not going to get the same experience as going through your material for the whole year rather than going from your material for your entry level, somebody else's for the next, for somebody else's for the next. Are they going to gain more than buying a bunch of first-level products? Yes. Are they going to get as much as if they stick with one person? No. And I don't want to go through a whole logical proof of it like I did on the last thing, but just hopefully it's intuitive to you that they're not going to get the same impact. Okay. So now I want to prove to you, I want to attempt to persuade you that it's better for your pocketbook if they go through your entire system. Okay, so let's just compare five people going through your 10-product funnel with, and that would be five people times 10 would be 50 products, with 50 people buying your entry-level product. We'll just do that comparison. You can scale this up, and if you just multiply it by 10, you could have 50 people versus, what would the number be? 500, right? 50 people at 10 products versus 500 entries, entry level. So, I mean, you can scale this up. You can do the math. We're going to keep it really simple. 5 people, 10 products. Okay. Lest you're thinking, well, I don't care as long as the money's coming in. Let's just have 50 people buy my entry level product. Well, the problem is your entry level product's usually priced a lot less than your future products.
meaning that if you had 50 people buy your entry-level product at $40, you make $2,000.
Okay, hey, cool, whatever. Okay, as long as you're making money, as long as you're spending less than that to get your subscribers, then hey, you might be able to say, hey, I'm in profit. This is a beautiful thing. Okay, but however, and I'm doing this on the fly. I'm going to make up numbers. I have no idea what your funnel looks like. This may or may not be representative of my funnel and anybody else's. Okay, but let's just toy with some numbers. Let's say your first product is $40. Your second product is $80. Your third product is $120. Your fourth product is $200. Your fifth product is $100 a month. Okay, and the average person stays in for 6 months. That makes it a $600 product. Okay, if I just said 97, let's call it 100 for easy math, but then if you multiply 97 times 6, you're going to get, what, 582, something like that, okay? So let's say your sixth product is a $500 product, your seventh product is a $1,000 product, your eighth product is a $2,000 product, your ninth product is a $3,000 product, and let's say your tenth product is another $3,000 product. Okay, now, by the way, I'm calling it a $3,000 product, but it doesn't have to be $3,000, and I'll explain that. Remember I just said on the fifth product, maybe you have $100 a month, the average person stays in for 6 months. In my book, that's a $600 product. Okay, that's a $600 product. Why? Because I know that on average, if somebody spends the $97 on this particular product, they stay in for 6 months, then any time that I book a $97 sale, in my mind, this subscriber's been worth $600 to me. Okay, now, are some of them only going to be worth $200? Yeah. Are some of them only going to stay in for 1 month? Yeah. Are some people going to stay in for 12 months and be worth $1,200? Yeah. But when I'm looking at what's my funnel worth, it's worth $600 right there. And so a $3,000 program, hey, that might be a $200 15-month program. Okay, so it may not be making some big ticket. A $2,000 package might be four payments of $497. Okay, a $3,000 package, hey, maybe that would be somebody comes and stays at your house for a week and learns from you side by side. Okay, whatever. I mean, there's all kinds of different ways you can get these numbers. Okay, and hey, if you're not comfortable with those high-level numbers, you can stop this at a seven-product funnel. Okay, but right, all I want to do is compare the value. I mean, my goodness, if you wanted to, you could say your first product was 40, your second product was 80, and then your third product was 120, and then all your additional products were $200, and you're still going to find that you're still way, 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 way ahead with just five people going through your funnel. So let's just say that you have five people go through this funnel, and I'm just going to guess at the math. 3,000 plus 3,000, 6 plus 2 is 8, 9, and then maybe 1,000, 10,000. So if you have five people go through your funnel, buy this 50 products, same number of products, but you have five people that each invest $10,000 with you, then over time you've done $50,000 in business. Hey, will it take 2 or 3 years to do it? Maybe. But, I mean, you know, it's $50,000 versus $4,000. I'm willing to wait 3 years, if that's what it takes, to do 50 grand instead of four. Okay, now, maybe you have a more conservative funnel and you just say, okay, the first product's 40, second one's 80, third's 120, what would that be, 240, and then the next seven are only 200 apiece. So 7 times 2 is 1,400, plus the 240 is 1,640. So now we're just saying each person's worth 1,640 times 5 people is $8,200, $8,200, as opposed to 50 people just buying your first product. Okay, now what if some people only buy 3 of your products and drop off? Well, 40 plus 80 plus 120 is 240, right? That's what we said earlier. Hopefully the math's still good. 240 divided by 3 purchases is $80 a purchase. Okay, so would you rather average $80 a purchase or $40 a purchase? Well, using this funnel, you're better off with a person buying 3 times, okay? So I've looked at this from the client's perspective, you're better off with a funnel. I'm looking at it from this, your perspective, you're better off with a funnel. You're better off focusing on making that funnel happen long run. Okay, so we've talked about traffic, why it's important. I have not talked about on this training how to drive traffic. As you know, I have multiple other teachings on how to do that, and there's multiple other people out there that teach. And there's plenty of good traffic sources out there, and new traffic sources crop up every single month. Okay, there's a new way to drive traffic on this website. There's a new way on this website. And, you know, I'm gonna say something. I'm going to get something out in the clear. You know, a lot of times
There's a new traffic training that comes out. I make a lot of fun of these new faddish traffic trainings that come out. And I say, sometimes you've probably even heard me say, don't buy a faddish traffic training for something that you know you're going to get. It'll drive some really cool traffic for 3 months, but then it's going to go away because it's not evergreen, because it's not going to last forever and ever, because it's not part of building a real long-term business. But hey, let's imagine if you're just willing to have a new traffic source every 3 months. Well, as long as you're willing to build everything else out so that it's evergreen and you're willing to put the time or hire somebody to drive these different sources of traffic, is there anything necessarily inherently wrong about driving fad traffic? No, not necessarily. And I usually focus on this because I'm always focusing on, I want people to build long-term, solid, real businesses. And I'm so afraid that if they jump into fad traffic, that as soon as that traffic goes bad on them 90 days from now or 120 days or whatever it may be, that then their whole business falls apart. And if they're not savvy enough to get another traffic source fast, then you know, they built this business up, maybe they've gone 6 months, they've got a full-time income, they quit their job, and then the traffic source falls apart, and they might lose their house, and their kids can't go to private school anymore, and they're hungry, okay, and it's just a really bad scenario. And so I always hate to lead people down any path that's not evergreen, that they cannot duplicate over and over and over again. So having said that, as long as you recognize that if you get into a faddish traffic source, just know it has a limited lifespan and you'll have to do something else later for traffic. And in the long run, you really would like to have some evergreen traffic sources. That's all I really want to say about traffic here. I mean, I teach on it so much. There's so many other people that teach on it. You know, I mean, the bottom line is no matter how good my teaching is or anybody else's, just because I'm able to drive 10,000 visitors with a traffic source, just because somebody else is able to drive 50,000 visitors with a traffic source, until you actually drive them, you actually get them to convert on your one-time offer, you actually get them to convert in your email campaign, and you actually get them to buy from you, well, until they buy from you, there's no return on investment. So, I mean, you still got to do your own testing. Okay, let's move to the email part of this picture. So we've talked about this simple picture of traffic, emails, and products. Okay, and then today I'm really digging into this, really digging deep into this. We've talked about traffic. Now let's talk about emails. Let's start with the basic premise, and that is that you absolutely must have an email campaign that does two things. It builds relationship and trust with people over time, and over time it compels them or persuades them to buy some of your products. Okay, now, why does it have to have both? Because if all you do is build relationships with people and they never pay you anything, that's a charity business, that's cool if you have an independent income source somewhere, but if you need to make money on this proposition, it cannot just be charity. Okay, and I mean, this isn't being hardcore or anything like that. I mean, let's just say you move to a new town and you're a plumber. Let's say you're a plumber and you go out there and you say, you know what, I'm the best plumber on earth and I want to fix people's toilets. Okay, now, would it be reasonable for you to say, I'm moving into a new town and I want to be the best toilet fixer in this town, and in order to do that, I'm going to build relationships with people in this town, and I'm just going to go knock on their doors, and I'm going to say, look, I'm Jim, and I'm the new plumber in town, and if you ever have a problem with your toilet, just give me a call. I'll come right over, or I'll send out one of my employees. They'll fix your toilet, and hey, all we would like is to build a great relationship with you. Just send us cookies for Christmas, and be sure and send me a birthday card, and, you know, just let's have a tight relationship here. Okay, now, please, I hope you get the absurdity of what I've just shared with you. That would be absurd. Okay, now, would it be unethical? Would it be immoral? No, it'd be a great charitable thing. Okay, in fact, Mr. Plumber could even say, you know what, 1 hour a week, I'm going to commit to doing charity plumbing. Okay, I'm going to plumb somebody's toilet every week who can't afford it. In fact, I'm even going to go so far as to, if nobody calls me and says, please, I can't afford it, I'd like you to fix my toilet for free, if I run into somebody that appears that they can't afford it, I'm just going to give it to them. I'm going to do it once a week. Okay, that might be a good balance. I don't know what the good balance is, okay? But I want you to see how absurd it would be for Mr. Excellent Plumber or Mrs. Excellent Plumber to go out and say, you know what, all I'm going to do is build relationships. I want holiday cards. I want birthday cards. I want cookies from time to time. Send my wife flowers from time to time, okay? Come over and hang out with me on Friday night, okay? That's all I want. In today's world, that would probably be an absurdity. Okay, now, what happens is a lot of time in internet business, people feel so guilty about charging for their services that they actually fall into the same absurd trap as Mr. Plumber or Mrs. Plumber. They fall into that absurd trap that says I have to build a relationship, and the only way I can build a relationship is for me to teach everybody everything for free. It doesn't work that way. Okay, now, let's look at the sales side. So what if we said, okay, well, if the relationship's not important and selling is the only thing that matters, let's just sell, sell, sell. Okay, well, let's look at that. Let's say every single day I'm going to send out a sales email. Guess what? After a while, people are going to say, this person doesn't care about me. All they care about is my money. They opt off your list. They never buy from you. Okay, so all sales doesn't work either. You must have a balance. Build a relationship while getting people to buy from you. That's the purpose of the email campaign. Obviously, I've a lot of training out there on how to write these emails, et cetera, et cetera. That's not the purpose of this teaching, and so I'm not going to go into those details. Okay. However, I do want to throw some ideas out there for you. The first idea is that you probably need at least 100 emails in your email campaign. Oh, I just lost some people right there, because that's, wow, that feels like a lot of hard work. It really does. Because you don't know what you'd write for 100 emails, and there's two ways to accomplish this. One is to write one email to your list every day, and instead of sending it as a broadcast, just add it as one more day into your follow-up funnel. Okay? Now, when you first start out, these one emails a day could be all relationship-building emails. Okay, now, you won't make any money off of them. That's okay. You got to start somewhere. But once you have those 100 emails, or maybe you even said, you know what, long run, I want a 100 email campaign. I want 50 of them to be relationship building and 50 of them sales. Then for the first 50 days in your business, you just write one email a day that's relationship building. You send it to the list. You put it up on your follow-up campaign, and it's there. Okay, maybe you queue those up to about every 3 or 4 days. Then over time, as you create your products, you can start putting your product emails inside of that list. So let's say right now you have your 50 emails. They're all spaced a few days apart. Well, in between each one of your relationship emails over time, you could add your buyer emails, your sales emails. Okay, so that's just one way you can do it. Another way you can do it, and I've done this before, folks. I've sat down in one sitting and written 25 or 30 emails. I don't think I've ever written 50 in a sitting. Okay, now, are they perfect emails? No. Are they the emails I'm going to use forever and ever? No. But hey, I mean, not no email that you write, well, not no email, but if you write a group of 50 emails, even if it takes you a full year to write them, you're probably going to discover over time that some of those emails just don't perform as well as others. You're going to take them out. So why take a whole year to write your perfect email campaign when it's still not going to be perfect? Why not just take an afternoon off, okay? And say, you know what, from today, from 12 to 5, all I'm going to do is write emails, tell your husband or wife that you're going to be writing emails. Please don't talk to me. Don't open the door. Don't knock on the door. Don't telephone me. Turn your telephone off. Turn your cell phone off. Turn the television off. Turn your email off. Turn your internet off. Turn everything off. If you can't do it at home, if the people in your house don't respect your time when you're working, leave. Go to a coffee shop. Okay? And if the coffee shop is right down the road and your family knows where you are, and if you don't answer the phone, they come track you down there, drive to the other side of town and don't tell them where you're at for the afternoon. Okay? I'm serious. I'm not talking about, please understand, I'm not talking about being sneaky or anything like that. What I am talking about is you must absolutely find a way to be able to carve out time to run your business. Okay? And right now I'm just talking about 5 hours to sit down and write some emails. They don't have to be perfect. And maybe you set aside 5 hours, and after 3 hours, your brain is fried. Okay, great, quit. Go see a movie in the extra 2 hours you just allotted yourself, okay?
just that's your reward for working so hard. Hey, I'm serious. I've sat down before and written 25 emails in a sitting. Okay, and then the next day, I go to upload them into an email campaign, and sometimes I look at some of them, I go, that was a really stupid email. Okay, I'm not putting that one in. Or I even rewrite it because it has to go into the sequence. So I rewrite it, and I take it out. Okay? Another advantage to writing emails in one sitting is they can flow better. Okay, so let's just say that you want to tell somebody, teach somebody about something in an email campaign. Okay, let's say that it might take you 15 emails to explain it. Well, if you write one email a day, it's not going to be as coherent as if you sit down and you say, okay, I'm going to teach somebody something in my niche, and I'm going to use 15 emails to do it, and then I'm going to use this as a building relationship opportunity. So what you do is you sit down and you write like two paragraphs, and then you say, okay, that's all for now. See you tomorrow. That's your first email. And then your next email, you go, okay, yesterday I told you I was going to teach you about this, this, and this over the course of these first 10 days in this email campaign, and today I'm going to teach you point number one. And then you write point number one, and the email, you get halfway through point number one, and you're still not done, and then you say, oops, this email is getting a little long, I'll finish it tomorrow. Goodbye. And then tomorrow, this is like 15 minutes later because you're doing it all in one sitting. And tomorrow, you sit down to write, 15 minutes later, you write them the email that says, okay, this is part one, part two, or this is point one, part two. And then you finish telling them. And you say, okay, look in your email box tomorrow for email for point two, or whatever. Okay, or if you're doing like I just suggested, you know, every 3 or 4 days, then your emails, instead of saying look in your box tomorrow, they might say, you know, in a few days, keep your eyes open in a few days for another email from me about this. And so what's going to happen is you're going to have this storyline going. It's just like, you know, every season, you know, in the fall and the spring and, you know, different seasons, the TV networks, they come out with these different shows, you know, whether they're soap operas or these life shows and all these different kinds of shows that you might sit down and watch in the evening. And you know how it is. You watch a half an hour, and then at the very end, there's this cliffhanger that says you'll find out if the person died or lived, or you'll find out if the person accepted the marriage proposal or not, or you'll find out if somebody this happened or somebody that happened. You'll find out, but you got to come back next week, Tuesday at 8 o'clock, okay? And that's how they get you to watch 13 episodes every single week for 13 weeks, because they have some really cool programming for 20 minutes interspersed with 10 minutes worth of advertising, and you sit through the advertising because it's pretty cool. You get to the end, and there's a cliffhanger. You got to come back next week to find out if somebody died or lived. You got to come back next week to find out if the boy and girl liked each other. You have to come back next week to find out if the people lost weight. You have to come back next week to find out if they really were lost on an island or if some helicopter came and rescued them. Okay? It's the same thing on your emails. Every single day when somebody reads their email, they should want to get your next email. They should be looking for your next email. Well, easily the way to make this happen is to write them all in one sitting, or two or three sittings, but write them in such a way that they follow a storyline rather than writing them, you know, just one at a time, piecemeal, you know, willy-nilly here and there. Okay, now let's talk about products. Okay, now, if you're first starting out, you only have one product, you're going to sell the one product, you're going to send an email out to everybody that bought it, you're going to say, hey, you know, congratulations on purchasing it. Hopefully you've really been studying it. I hope that you studied page 3 because it taught you about this. I hope you studied audio 5 because it taught you about this. If you have any questions, send me an email. 3 days later, you send another email out that says, hey, I hope that you're really progressing. If you have any questions, let me know. By the way, I'm thinking about creating some additional training because I think it might help you. If I were to do that, let me ask you this. What are the 3 biggest things that you're still struggling with in whatever the niche is? And some of them are going to write you back, and they're going to tell you. And then you're going to create your second product based on the answers to those questions from the first product, okay? And then you're going to sell your second product, and you're going to release your second product. And 3 days later, you're going to send an email out that says, I hope that you're getting some good results from this. If you haven't had a chance to study it yet, please open it up and start studying it. Page 5 is going to teach you this, this, and this. Audio 3 is going to teach you this, this, and this. Oh, and the overview is a really good one. Be sure and take a look at that. If you have any questions, shoot me an email. 3 days later, you send another email out that says, hey, how's that training coming along? If you have any questions, send me an email. 3 days later, you send another email out that says, guess what? Hey, I'm in the process of creating some new training, and I you know, I think it's going to be able to help you. It's going to really go into some more details and answer some more questions for you. But let me ask you this. After all the training that you've had for me so far, you know, there's probably a few, still a few holes, some things you're struggling with. What are your three biggest things you're struggling with? And so then you go create number, product number four, and you're going to do the same process every single time. Every single time. Everyone. You're going to, 3 days later, you're going to send them the email that says, hey, I hope you're getting into the product, blah, blah, blah. Send me a question. Send me an email if you have any questions. 3 days later, you're going to send an email. That, and by the way, 3 days doesn't have to be 3 days. It can be 4 days. It can be 2 days. It can be 7 days. Whatever. Okay, I want to be really careful that I'm giving you this big 30,000-foot overview. I don't want you to take out of this, send an email every 3 days. Okay? I want you to get something bigger out of that. Okay? Don't focus on how many days we're talking about here. Focus on the process. The process is send an email that says, congratulations on purchasing it. I hope that you're really digging into it. Here's some ways to dig into it. Send an email that says, hey, I hope you're really enjoying that training. What do you like best about it? What do you like least about it? Send an email that says, I hope you're really enjoying that training. My guess is you've got a question or two. If you do, shoot me an email. Send an email that says, hey, I'm really excited about you taking this training. I see that you've learned a few things. However, I'm getting ready to create a brand new training. You're always getting ready to create a brand new training. Every month you can get ready to create a brand new training. Every month you can create a brand new training. My first year online, every single month, I created a brand new training. Okay? If you think about what I do now, every so often I create a brand new training. Sometimes that's a brand new training every day. Sometimes I'm really motivated. On Monday, I do a brand new training. On Tuesday, I do a brand new training. Sometimes I might go a month without doing a brand new training, and then I do three brand new trainings. You can always create a brand new training. If you're always creating a brand new training, you can always send an email out to your list that says, I'm creating a brand new training. What would you like to learn? Okay, so that's how you figure out what people are going to buy. Now, what do you create? Well, you have to kind of decide what kind of time you're willing to put into it. Everything's going to be different for your niche, but there's lots of things you can create. Okay? You can create a 3-hour audio training course. You can create a 5-hour audio training course. You can create a 2-hour audio training course. You can create a 4-hour audio training course. That's four products right there. You can create all four of those products. You could also create a monthly continuity program. How would you do that? Well, let's just imagine that you were to create a 12-hour audio training program and you were to send out 1 hour audio per month for 12 months. That would be a 12-month audio continuity program, wouldn't it? Okay? What if you wanted to do a 6-month continuity? You could create 6 lessons and send them out every month for 6 months. Okay? That's how you do your monthly continuity. So you could have 4 products that are, you know, 3 hours long, and then one's 6 hours long, and one's 7 hours long, and one's 2 hours long, 4 products. You could have 4 continuities. One is 12 months long, one's 6 months long, one's 8 months long, and one is just open-ended every single month. You add a new recording to the end of it. Okay, there's your 4 continuities. And then you say, well, how about a coaching program? Okay, so you say, okay, great, I'm going to do a coaching program. This is going to be $300 a month. This is what you get. If you want to join, here it is. And obviously, there's more to it than that. You're going to write sales page. You're going to do a process, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm really wanting to give you the bird's eye view of, hey, how do you brainstorm 10 products? There's your coaching program. Okay, $300 a month. Now, what's going to happen after that is that some people are going to come to you and say, you know what, can't afford $300 a month. So what do? You have two choices, right? You can reduce the price of your coaching to $97 a month, or you can create another coaching program that's watered down for $97 a month at other people. So now you have two coaching programs. You have a $97 watered-down coaching program for people can't afford $300. And then you have another coaching program. Then you have your $300 coaching program that's standard. Now, how could you create, if you create your $300 coaching program, let's say it had a weekly lesson for the first month and then a lesson every 10 days for the second month, and then after that it's 2 lessons a month, okay, for your monthly coaching. And that's all it had. It takes you 2 hours a month after the first few months to keep this thing going. Okay? And you have this coaching program. And now people come out and say, yeah, you know, I'd really like a $97 coaching program. You know what you could do instead of creating a brand new one? You just go into your $300 coaching program and slow it down by 3 times. Okay? So what does that mean? That means that, let's say that your coaching program has 3 lessons a month. Okay? Just give them one lesson a month so that if somebody's paying $97 a month, it takes them 3 months to get the same lessons that somebody else would get for $300 their first month. Okay. Or you just go in and you say, you know what, I'm going to divide each lesson, let's say hour lesson, cut them into 20-minute segments and spread them out the same spreading. You're still going to get three times longer, same material, three times longer, a third of the price. So now you have a training for people who can't afford $297 a month. You have a $97 training. Okay, now what happens is some of the people in the $300 training come to you and they say, you know, I'd really like more of this. I'd like more from you. And then you say, well, what do you want? And they say, well, boy, it'd be nice to, you know, come visit you. It'd be nice to sit down with you face to face and work on this. And so then you say, okay, well, what can I do to make this happen? Oh, well, you know, you could open up your house. You could go down and rent a hotel space. Small, it doesn't have to be big. You can do this for 10 people. It doesn't have to be big. Okay. Or you could say, you know what, I'm going to do a specialized training. It's going to be virtual, so it's going to be at my house. I'm going to do it over video, or I'm going to do it over the telephone. But it's going to be just for the 10 people that really want to go to the next level. Okay, and for this, you say, okay, this, instead of $300 a month, this is $700 a month. $700 a month. Okay, and so maybe they come out to your house, or they come out to the hotel, or they come out to a coffee shop, or you do it virtually, and you meet, you know, once a week on Thursdays or whatever the case is, and you hang out for an hour or two. Okay, and, you know, maybe that's $700 a month. Okay, now you have three coaching programs. You have a watered-down, cheapo version for $97, okay? But it's not like you're taking anything away from them. They're just getting what they're paid for. I mean, it's not like you're teaching them a lower quality of material, because you're actually teaching them the exact same thing that you're teaching everybody else for $300. They just get it a third slower because they're paying a third less for it, okay? And then, of course, you have your third coaching program, the higher level one. That's for people who really want to get more from you. Okay, so let's tie all of this together. What do you have to do to transform what we're talking about, your business, into a business that makes you really good money? You're going to have all of three of these pieces, and you're going to have to split test them and tweak them until they work well. You're going to go out and you're going to buy traffic sources, and you're going to split test them, and you're going to test them. And by the way, the best way that I know to gauge how well a traffic source converts is to offer a one-time offer on immediately after they become your subscriber. I don't care how much it is. If it's $10, if it's $37, if it's $97, doesn't matter. You're not going to sell a $2,000 package, okay? But this is not even entry level. This is pre-entry level, okay? You don't really care how much money you make on it. You just need a measuring stick to say that if I get 1,000 subscribers from traffic source A, 100 of them will buy a $10 one-time offer. And so if I mail traffic source B and I only get 5 subscribers, or 5 buyers out of the same 1,000 subscribers from traffic source B, what does that tell you? That tells you to never buy from traffic source B again. It tells you that traffic source B is a really lousy traffic source for you. It may not be lousy for somebody else, but for you, it's a lousy source because your offers don't really fit that traffic source. Hey, now, one way to fix this is to say, okay, well, let me make my offer fit that traffic source. Here's why I'm against that. I'm against doing that because I'm just going to spit it out, okay, and tell you that's too much work. Because if I have 10 traffic sources, do I want 10 different product funnels because I have 10 different kinds of traffic? No, absolutely not. I want to have my one-time offer. I want to have my product funnel, and I just want to find traffic sources that work well for my funnel. I don't want to have to go redesign my whole system for every traffic source out there. Okay, so if their traffic doesn't work well for me, it may not be a reflection on their traffic. It may not be bad traffic across the board, but it's bad for me. If it's bad for me, I just don't buy it again. Okay, now you may even say to me now, well, you've lost money because that's bad traffic. Well, you're absolutely right. This is a business, and if I buy from 10 traffic sources each week, 2 of them probably lose me money.
but hopefully the other eight make me so much money that I just absorb the cost. Okay? I'm not afraid of losing some money on a first-time buy. Okay? Now, by the way, if I go to somebody to buy some traffic, any source, and they have three different levels of traffic, meaning I could buy 1,000 visitors, 10,000 visitors, or 1,000,000 visitors, and with some corresponding prices, okay, I can't be greedy and go buy the 1,000,000 visitors the first time. Okay, even if it's 50% discount, okay, obviously it's scaled up, so it's a lot more money. You must start with the lower end and test the traffic. And if it doesn't, if the 1,000 subscribers don't convert, 1,000,000 isn't going to convert. Okay? If you scale up bad economies, they don't get better. If you scale bad things up, they don't get better. Bad things don't get better when you add them all together. Okay? And just think in life. One flat tire, if you have 10 flat tires and all, you know, you have 10 people at the side of the road, you might have some camaraderie in this, but the problem is 10 times bigger than it was before. Okay? Bad things, when you add them all together, they don't get better. There may be a few life exceptions for that, but it's the same way with traffic. If I buy some traffic, and I buy enough so I can get a snapshot of whether or not it works, if I don't like the results, I just don't buy that traffic again. Now, that doesn't mean that 3 months down the road, I don't come up with a new offer, and I say I want to get a bunch of traffic to this new offer for testing purposes, and I might say, you know what, maybe that bad traffic for the other offer, maybe it'll work well for this one. That's not to say that I won't go back and buy some more traffic to help boost my test. And then maybe I say, okay, wow, traffic actually works well on this offer, but it worked well on the other one. Okay. The purpose here is your products. It's not, you know, finding a way to make every traffic source work. It's the opposite. Find traffic sources that work well for you. Okay. Here's, again, why you want to have a one-time offer right away. The reason you want to have a one-time offer right away is because you don't want to have to wait 9 months to find out if people buy enough for that traffic source to be valuable, because then you've got to wait 9 months to buy it again. You can't build a business like that. I want to be able to buy traffic today, find out by tomorrow if it makes me money or not, and go buy more. That's how I'm able to grow my business fast. Okay? Emails. Write 50 emails or 100 emails, put them in your autoresponder campaign, okay? And then in your autoresponder, if you have a professional autoresponder service, you should be able to put tracking in that shows you open rates, click-through rates, and purchase rates from each email. I'm not going to teach you how to do it here because the companies you buy it from, they have trainings that teach you how to do that, okay? Then what happens is over time, if you see that email number 34 does not get very good clicks, or email 34, people don't buy from it, what do? Write a new email 34. Don't try to fix it. Just take it out and write a brand new one. If email 51 does not work real well, get rid of it. If email 39 does really, really well, but since it's email 39, it doesn't get as many opens as email number 2 would, move it from email 39 to number 2. Okay, and so over time, over a year or two, you'll have 100 emails. You'll have your best ones at the front of the campaign. You will have gotten rid of your worst ones. You will have replaced them with new ones. You're constantly looking for underperformers. What will happen is over time, if you're constantly working to improve traffic, you're constantly working to improve emails, and you're constantly creating new products, a new product every single month, okay, if you're constantly creating new products, then you'll have this constant improvement that's always happening, and then there'll be a snowball. There'll be an inflection point. There'll be a place where you go all of a sudden from not being in profit to being in profit because you get a little better on traffic every month. You get a little better in your email campaign every month. You get a little more products every month. Okay. I'm going to add one more thing. I didn't want to – this should have gone earlier because I want to tie this up properly, and that's with products. Everybody needs to create one new product every month. Oh, you say that's too much work. What's a new product? 3 hours worth of training. If you can't set aside 3 hours of your month to sit down and just do 3 hours of training and record them and then write a quick sales letter and put that up, then you're probably spending too much time on things that don't matter.
Okay, and you may say, well, I'm spending all my time on all of these other things. Then I have to ask you, are those other things making you money? Are they making you all the money that you want? And if your answer is, well, no, then you're spending your time on the wrong things. Take 3 hours every single month and create a new product. Okay, now, you could also create a new continuity program. You could also go in and say, I'm going to create a continuity program, and I'm going to record 3 hours of it, the first 3 months of it this month, and then every month thereafter, I'll just record one more hour. Or, you know, 6 months down the road, you find that you have two products that are really duplicitous of each other. So you have 2 4-hour trainings, and you say, you know what? I'm just going to take product number two that has 4 hours. I'm going to take that out of service. I'm not going to sell it anymore. And I'm going to take the 4 trainings that are in that program, and I'm going to make those months 4, 5, 6, and 7 in my continuity program. Okay, now you say, well, what if somebody has bought the first product and they're in my continuity training? Well, if that happens and they send you an email and they say, look, the continuity, you sent me the same training I bought a few months ago, you're going to write them back and you're going to say, oh, I'm so sorry about that. Would it be okay with you if I sent you my brand new training, 5 hours worth, that I normally sell for $297, hey, I'm sorry that happened. Is that person not going to be tickled pink or what? Okay, now, of course, next month you're going to do the same thing, but who cares? They're digital products. You already created them. They cost you nothing to send them the download link. And every single month, this person continues to pay the continuity fee. Okay, and then after the 7 months, you go, okay, I need something for months 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. You can either sit down and record 5 more hours, or you can find another product that it's time to take out of service. And here's the thing, if you're creating a new product every month, then you can take products out of service. You can add new products into service because every single month you're creating something new. And product creation should not take 3 months. It should take a few days, literally. Now, if you want to create like some super, 24-hour training program, well, that may take 6 hours a week for 4 weeks. But hey, if you're creating a 24-hour super training material, it's probably worth taking 6 hours of time a week for 4 weeks. Okay, so let's tie all of this together. The idea I want to leave you with is you must have a philosophy of constant improvement, constantly reevaluating your emails and saying, this one doesn't work, let's pull it out, write a new one. Constantly evaluating your traffic sources, saying, this one doesn't work, let's try a new one. Constantly looking at your products and saying, this one doesn't sell as well, let's pull it out, let's create a new one. Constantly creating a new product every single month, because if you create a new product every single month, you have incredible freedom. Some people will buy every new product that you come out with, so you'll make more money. You'll obviously be able to put more in your autoresponder campaign. You'll obviously have more freedom and choices because you'll be able to retire products. You'll be able to send an email out that says, you know what, I'm raising the price on this. Whenever you do that, more people buy. Okay, so you're able to do that. You have the flexibility of doing that. You can just raise one product to a higher price. Why? Because you don't need that one product in the campaign because you've got 12 more. And next month you're going to be creating a new one. So who cares if you price a few of them out of range over time? It doesn't matter because every single month you're creating a new product. Okay, and then here's another idea. You take that product out of range, out of price range, and then you sit on it 2 years later. You go back, you say, hey, I haven't sold this product in 2 years. What could I do? Let's look at this product. I could totally redesign this product. What can I do to redesign this product? Well, you probably only have to add a couple 3 hours worth of audio to the front end of it, and you've totally redesigned it. Or you could take that that product that you haven't sold for 2 years and make a continuity program out of it. You've got all these options. These options do not really exist for you if you're not creating a new product every month. Okay. I believe I've covered everything that I've shared with you. I want to sum up this idea that this is a 30,000 foot view, okay? You're still going to have to go in there, learn how to drive traffic, learn how to write the emails. Maybe you already have some of these pieces in place. Maybe you have some products, you have some emails, you have some traffic. Add more. Add the testing. Add the emails. Add the products. Add more products. If you're constantly improving in each one of these areas, almost without fail, over time, you will become more profitable and more profitable and more profitable. And the beautiful thing about becoming more profitable is you're able to help more people, you're able to build more relationships, you're able to put more more money into the front end. You're able to put more money into getting more people to become traffic, more people to read your emails, and more people to buy the products that you have so that you're able to take those products and continue to create even more and continue to meet people's needs.